you talk me through how the band came to fruition, first of all?
Yeah, well, basically, there was no clear idea at the start. I'd played in another Aussie band called Destroyer 666, and after I'd left that band, when I was over in Holland, I came back to Australia, and yeah, I didn't do much music-wise myself for a few years, but had a couple of jams with a mate of mine on the drums, and we just recorded a few songs, and rough and ready, but it actually came out all right, so I thought, you know, well, may as well release it. And I just came up with the name of Assaulter, because it was just a one-word name, you know. And yeah, I thought, well, bugger it, I'll get a band together. But trying to get a full band has been a task since back then, which was in 2005. So after that, we did the second demo with another drummer, AC. And beyond that, we did a 7-inch with Iron Bonehead Productions, which was in 2008. Followed quickly by the first LP, and again it was still just the two of us at that stage, and it wasn't till after the first LP, Salvation Like Destruction, came out that we got another guitarist, and we've had 50 bass players and whatever, but AC was replaced on drums by Pete Hunt, and we've just done Boundless now. So for the recording of that LP, the lineup was good, even though it was still minus a bass player. But Pete actually left the band straight after that, anyway. So we're back to two people. But that's where we are now, yeah.
Okay. How do you? It's been up 3 years. So how do you view that first Salvation Like Destruction? How do you look back on it? Like, you were happy with it?
Look, at the time, we were with Pulverize Records, and they gave the impression they were behind us, but they didn't give us much money to record with. So I think we were looking at about 2,000 Australian dollars. Isn't much, especially when you got to spread it over mastering and what have you. So we were screwed there from the outset. I think the songs were generally there, but halfway through the recording, I was like, this isn't going too well, and we made a few poor choices with where we had to record the drums and whatnot, and the drumming didn't come out that well anyway. But I mean, it was a trial by fire. It is what it is. I'm relatively happy with the songs and whatnot, but as an album now, I knew that we had to do better, and yeah, that's where this latest album comes in.
Okay, I believe that album was released on album, on CD, I mean, by Pulverized Records. How did that deal come about?
We were just contacted by Pulverized. At that stage, We'd just released the second demo, Omnipotent, and we sent that out everywhere, you know. I think we got rid of about 600 copies, either distros were buying them just at, you know, I don't know, $1 a disc or something, you know, minus postage or whatever. Or I was just getting distros to pay for postage and sending out, you know, multiple copies so they could just chuck it into their mail order and get the name around, and it did to a certain extent. So we actually, beyond that, you know, once people heard that demo, which was, you know, rough and tough and ready and all the rest of it, firstly we got approached by Iron Bonehead in Germany to do the first 7-inch, Subservience, and then shortly after that we were approached by Pulverize because they'd heard the demo as well. So I think a fella from Heidi actually got hold of a copy, and I think it was him that passed it on, so that was pretty good. So, yeah, that's how it happened.
Is there much of a metal scene over there in Australia then?
There is, but it's small. It's very small. It's not like a once was in the early to mid 90s, where there were quite a few people going to local shows and watching local bands. But I guess that there are people around. I mean, if an international band plays, then all of a sudden there are, you know, headbangers and metalheads everywhere, you know. But for the local shows, especially for the kind of stuff we play, or bands like French Hell or Vomitor or, you know, any of those kinds of bands, you're probably looking at, I don't know, 200 people max would show up to a show, which isn't too bad, you know, it's quite good, but you'd be shooting yourself in the foot if you played more than twice a year in any of the major cities, you know, Brisbane, Sydney or Melbourne, really. So it's small, but there's quite a few bands, and all these bands of the same kind of ilk, we all know each other and whatnot, so, you know, there is a small scene, yeah. It's not like Germany, as you'd expect.
More like Sweden or somewhere like that.
Yeah, Sweden or any of those lucky bastard countries, you know, where metal's just everywhere and it's, you know, yeah, I think it's great like that over there. Yeah, Sweden, you know. I mean, look at Niflheim, you know. A lot of people know who Niflheim are over there, you know. But it's small, but it's still healthy and it's still here in Australia, so. Definitely we have good bands, I'll say that much.
Are there any plans to get out internationally, I mean, touring-wise and that type of thing?
Yeah, I'd love to. We're going to come over to Europe next year. That's definitely once we get an idea of, you know, if the album's doing okay, you know, because we've got, the deal is it's through Poison Tongue, who's like a sub-label, Metal Blade, but Metal Blade will be pushing the album, you know, above the underground, but Poison Tongue will be working with Invictus in Ireland to get it spread out in the underground. So if that's well received, we'll definitely be over there and we'll start planning it very soon. But 2012 is the plan, yeah.
I'm assuming Ireland from Primordial, you had the band somehow or something? Or?
Yeah, he's, I've known him since 99. I actually lived in Dublin for just under a year, I've known the man since then. So he's been keeping track of what we were doing, and the first album, you know, like I said, it's rough as guts and whatnot, but it gave him a bit of a kick. So he had this idea that he approached Metal Blade with to have an underground label, you know, bands that he thinks, you know, may deserve a bit more attention or what have you. And he ran it by Metal Blade, and they were like, no dramas. And he approached us, and we're the first band to get a release via this Poison Tongue moniker. So yeah, it's pretty good. Actually, it's fucking good, you know, because a lot of work has been done by Metal Blade with the promotion and whatnot. Yeah.
So this is probably like a step up for the band then?
Yeah, definitely. Pulverized had all, you know, they promoted it well and whatnot, but it was very short, and I think they kind of lumped us in with this retro thrash kind of thing, which we're not at all. You know, we've got nothing to do with that at all, and I'll make that very clear. And they were trying to promote us alongside bands like Guillotine and all this kind of stuff, and then, you know, it was all gone, but Metal Blade are really pushing it on its own merit. So yeah, it's definitely great, yeah.
So what is Assault about then? Like what are its own merits? What flavour is the band then?
Basically, what we're playing, or how we see ourselves playing, is a real form of aggressive, you know, and quite rough and tough metal, you know. It's got the speed of thrash, but it's still dark and heavy like death metal. But there's lots of heavy metal hooks in there too, which is something we really stick by. Got Tommy P. Hellfinder on lead guitar, so he's adding a lot to heavy metal flavour too, with a lot of his licks and leads and whatnot. But yeah, I just don't like this. I've seen it a lot. Oh, they're a thrash band. Yeah, right, we got thrash elements, definitely. But on the strength of that, you could say we're a death metal band or a heavy metal band as well, because there's just as much of that in there as there is the speed of thrash, you know. So, yeah, I'm not too keen on the retro thrash tag at all. Well, have you listened to the album?
No, I haven't managed to hear it yet, no. So.
Yeah, okay. Well, hopefully when you hear it, you'll understand what I'm saying. I guess this whole retro thrash thing, straight away I think of these bands of, you know, 18 to 20 year olds in California in their Reebok high tops, you know, just playing Exodus riffs, you know. That's really not what we are. So yeah, we try and steer clear as far away as possible from that association.
Wow. You want to be trendsetters as opposed to trend followers, really, you know?
Yeah, not even. Yeah, I mean, the aim isn't to set a trend. It's just to, I mean, what we play is, you know, it comes to us quite naturally, you know. So we're not part of this flavour of the month, but you know, other thing that's rearing its, I guess you could say, ugly head is this revival of old school death metal as well, you know. All of a sudden there's 700 bands all sounding like Autopsy. But all these things go in cycles, but yeah, we'll just stick to what we play, and you know, once you hear it, you'll hear there's laced a lot of heavy metal, and there's quite a few epic passages in there as well, with choirs and whatnot. So yeah, it mixes it up. But at the end of the day, it's just metal, you know. Real metal, so that's our take on it.
Would you say that's prevalent on both albums then, or more this new record, Bungless?
Definitely more this one. First one definitely has more of the thrashy, aggressive thrash like Sodom and Creator, the older styles. Also it had the, you know, there were epic songs on it, like the closing of the album, but this new one, Boundless, yeah, it's very mid-paced. You got a couple of fast songs, but a lot of them are mid-paced kind of headbangers, and there's a couple of epic sprawling songs as well, so it's definitely come more to its own on this album.
Okay, what sort of, like, you mentioned, like, the band has elements of thrash and death metal, but what informs the band's music? I mean, influences, I mean.
Well, you may or may not hear it, but I love the old riffing of Metallica, you know, that. Take that kind of riffing, and we've got some of the rhythms of, say, Merciful Fate or something, and the lacing of the leads, you know, lots of leads and licks in between the vocal passages and whatnot. And then the straight out, you know, dark tremolo aggression and the death metal side of things of like Old Bottom or something like that. So it's very much rooted in, these days, what is quite old music, I guess. But I don't know. But to me, they're all my favourite kinds of bands, so naturally I'm going to draw more influence from them. Having said that, I still listen to bands from today, you know, but for the sake of Assaulter, yeah, we tend to draw our influence from those kinds of bands. And when Tom, the lead guitarist, came along, he'd fallen right out of the loop what was happening in the underground and metal, what have you, since the early 90s. So for him to come in, he brought in, you know, he's playing with straight from, you know, late 80s, early 90s influences, you know. And that added to the band as well. And I know it kind of contradicts what I was saying before about not trying to be retro, and we're not, but where, you know, I think if you hear it, you'll say, okay, it's rooted in traditional metal values, but it's not, you know, not trying to just sound like an 80s band, you know.
Yeah. Where do the lyrical inspirations come from then?
Generally, the trappings of power or absolute power. I get a bit of a kick when, you know, you read these stories of, I don't know, for example, Pol Pot or someone like that. Just the absolute power that it comes about with someone at the head of state, and I think it was George Orwell that said, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. So that whole concept to me is quite fascinating. So generally speaking, across the album, a lot of the songs deal with the theme, not in the case of, you know, a figurehead of a state or religion, whatever. But it could be, you know, the power of one's domain as well. But there's also, you know, there's a few, I don't know. I'm going to keep it broad because I prefer it if people listen and read the lyrics themselves and get their own interpretation. But that's the general gist of it. Song to song is a different theme. You know, there's definitely some anti-Christianity going on in there. But, I think it's best if people listen and read them themselves. I prefer that anyway. So, yeah.
Okay, does the band then have some biography page somewhere people can check out or something? Or because I noticed when I was trying to research questions, there seemed to be lack of a biography type thing.
Yeah, that's actually on purpose.
Okay.
Yeah, there used to be that stuff around. I guess for now we were looking to focus on the now, not, you know, not the boring details of... I mean, it's all right for you because you got to work out questions and ask questions and whatnot, but I know trawling through out of interest, trying to check out new bands or whatever, and they have a long biography about how the bass player was the neighbour of the guitarist and... They had a beer once and then they decided to do a logo. It's just fucking boring, you know. So I've always tried to steer clear of that where possible. So, yeah, any bio that speaks it on, I don't know, MySpace or Reverb Nation or what have you, it's all in the now. It's all what we're doing right now. So I guess if people want to know what the history is, they're always welcome to ask because I'll happily answer it. But, yeah. I don't think a two-page bio is really all that interesting. I guess just let the music speak.
Is that then let the music speak? Is create intrigue? Oh, I don't know much about this band. I'll have to check their music out then. Type thing as opposed to just reading the bio, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what we all used to do, I guess, before the rise of the internet. It was all what you heard, you know, or what someone played you. It was all about music, and I think that's the most important thing. Yeah, definitely. If there's too much information given out straight away, well, people are going to draw their own conclusions before, you know, they've heard anything. Oh, they're influenced by those bands. All right, well, fuck, I'm not interested. Or, oh, okay, cool, they're influenced by those bands. Oh, but they don't really sound like that. What's the point? Or, you know, whatever. So. Yeah, have a listen. I mean, the songs are around. There's a few songs around at the moment from Boundless, and I think people should just have a listen and work it out without, you know, needing any other background information, yeah.
Definitely. What are the band's plans from here on in then?
Well, as said earlier, the next plan, or the next priority, is to head over to Europe next year. We're currently trying out bass players, proper good bass players, which are a rare species. and again we need another drummer. So right now it's it's another case of trying to get the lineup together again. We've got a show booked here. We've got a festival in Sydney called Evil Invaders, which is going to be great. It's a great showcase of a ton of Aussie bands. You've got Portal and Trench Hell and Ignivomus, and there's a ton of bands. So it's going to be killer. So we're back in June, later in the year, couple more shows in Australia, because like I said earlier, you don't want to play too often here, because you know, you haven't got that much of an audience to play to. And next year you go to Europe, and then beyond that, look at album number 3, and just see where we're at. I think it even could be a bit of a different, you know, direction, but it's hard to say. So yeah, so main priority, Europe 2012.
Okay, so the band's looking to be like a four-piece, is it, isn't it, or?
Yeah, four-piece, yeah, definitely. We need the lead guitar, bit of a, well, when you hear the album, you'll hear it's a crucial part, so, yeah, definitely